Title of my message today is Don't Believe Everything You Hear. You've heard this before. It's true. Don't believe everything you hear. And as we venture into areas of this world that we're not familiar with, sometimes we encounter signs that other people have posted for us, signs that tell us, beware. A common sign that we would see on someone else's property is beware of dog. And if you work in an industrial facility, you might see a warning sign that says beware of moving parts or beware of high voltage, things like that. And I like this one. A common warning, usually it's given out to teenagers, but it applies to adults too, is not to share too much personal information on social media. It's called beware what you share kind of thing. So we see the beware signs all around us, but today I want to share with you a beware sign that comes right out of God's Word. And it's a warning that's so much more important than any sign you may see out in the real world or in the workplace. The warning that you need to hear this morning is a warning to beware being led astray by false teachers. Beware being led astray by false teachings. And if you were here yesterday, I delved into it just for a few minutes. And today I want to expound on it a bit. And I should point out that this sermon that I'm delivering today is one that's been on my heart for several weeks. And I believe God has burdened me to give you this sobering message. I believe it's absolutely critical that God's people understand truth. It's critical that God's people stay away from false teachings. It's critical that God's people exercise discernment when it comes to understanding God's Word. I'm going to be honest with you this morning. This is not a feel-good kind of message. I want everybody here and everyone that's watching us online, I want everyone to lean in. I want you to listen carefully. And I want everyone to pay attention to the warning signs that come right out of God's Word. And I believe one of the greatest failures of the church today is a growing lack of discernment. Discernment, meaning the ability to detect the difference between the truth of God's Word and the falsehoods that are being spewed by so many hordes of false teachers. And I believe an enormous contributing factor to this failure of discernment, and I mentioned this yesterday, a contributing factor is that the church is more biblically illiterate than ever before. The church in the United States knows less about the Bible than in any time in our history. The attacks on the Word of God have been going on for a long, long time. Here in the U.S., the Bible was taken out of public schools decades ago. Families don't spend time together reading the Bibles the way they used to. And sadly, many preachers today would rather spend their time in the pulpit talking about cultural problems, talking about social justice, rather than teaching God's Word. They'd rather deliver those feel-good messages rather than deliver the truth that comes right from God's Word. We greatly need discernment. Discernment. Why? We need discernment so that when a TV preacher incorrectly twists Scripture to make a falsehood, that we would be able to immediately detect that there's a problem. Sadly, the idea of absolute truth is one that many people have abandoned today. I hear all the time about people saying, oh, this is my truth, or your truth, or their truth. I'm going to tell you right now, my friends, there is no such thing as your truth. There's no such thing. There's God's truth, and then there's your opinion. That's it. And I've used this illustration before, and I'm going to use it again because I just feel like it goes so well with it. I've got a $20 bill up here. No, I'm not giving it away, Bruce. Have a seat. $20 bill. We're all familiar with the $20 bill. We know the paper from that the $20 bill is printed on. We know it's made in only one place in the world, and that recipe for the paper is a closely guarded secret. The paper has a certain feel to it. We're familiar with that fear. The multiple inks on the $20 bill cannot be easily reproduced. There are security features. If you hold it up to the light, you see a watermark. And if you look closely, you'll see there's a little security strip that's been sewed into the paper. And all kinds of other protections built into it. So it begs the question, why did our government go to such great lengths to produce the $20 bill? Why did they go to such lengths? And the answer, of course, is we wanted to make it incredibly difficult for counterfeiters to come up with something that looks real and feels real. We wanted to make it really, really difficult. And I want to share with you another $20 bill. I know it's a little hard to see. Let the record show, for those of you at home, I'm holding up Monopoly money. This is a Monopoly 20. Yeah, Bruce doesn't want this one. So we might laugh at how different the $20 bill is from the Monopoly $20 bill. In fact, Monopoly money is just, it's printed on just regular paper. It doesn't look or feel anything like real money. It doesn't have any kind of special features, no special inks. And it looks like something a 10-year-old could make. It's not even the same size as our $20 bill. No one in their right mind would mistake a $20 bill for Monopoly money. But let me tell you something, my friends. Some of the false teachings that we hear on what I call Christian television, some of the podcasts that come out every week from Christian teachers, some of the YouTube videos that are shared by Christians, they are counterfeits that are so bad that they look like Monopoly money. They're so bad, and yet millions of people across the world don't have discernment. They don't have the ability to detect that what they're hearing is a fake and a counterfeit. In some cases, the deception is so bad it looks like Monopoly money. In other cases, it's much more difficult to tell the difference. But the reason that we can successfully detect that this is not a real $20 bill is because we know the real thing. That's how you know what a counterfeit is, when you know the real thing. And sadly, many Christians do not know the real thing. They don't know the Bible. They don't know the real thing, and when a counterfeit comes along, they don't have discernment to know the difference between what is legitimate and what is fake. And you've all heard this before. I'm going to say it again. Don't believe everything you hear. And I want to pause just for a moment and give you an example. I'm going to give you a few examples today of false teachings. Some of these teachings are so bad they look like Monopoly money. And I'm not a big fan of naming names, and I've been praying about this, and I feel like sometimes we have to know who we're dealing with. And so give me a chance here. So I believe one of the most dangerous false teachers that's out there is Kenneth Copeland. Kenneth Copeland. Let me just mention one of the things he said recently. He said that when Jesus was growing up, that Jesus didn't know that he was God. No, he said Jesus read himself into the Word one day. He was visiting the temple, and he started reading the Old Testament. And Jesus was reading through saying, wow, this must be about me. I must be the Messiah. I must be the Son of God. He said Jesus didn't know that he was God. And I think, he didn't know he was God. Mary never told him about all the fanfare at his birth and all about the wise men coming. He didn't tell him about any of that. None of that took place. Come on, man. In other words, according to Kenneth Copeland, Jesus was he just discovered that I must be the Messiah. He continued that Jesus had no special connection with God the Father. Can you believe this? It doesn't take a Bible scholar to know that everything Kenneth Copeland had said just then is completely unbiblical. You will never find anything he just said in here in the Bible. Nowhere in Scripture can you find backup for that mess. And he's got a lot of those kind of messes. I mean a lot. Where he got those ideas, I can't tell you. Whether he dreamed them up, or whether they're demonic, or where it came from, I can't tell you. But I can tell you he did not get it from God's Word. Amen. And yet people send Kenneth Copeland millions of dollars. He continues to spew false teachings. I can go on and on. I can do an entire sermon just on his false teachings, just from that one man. And this lack of discernment within the Church of Jesus Christ has burdened me. It concerns me deeply. Much of what we see and hear on Christian television, Christian radio, and on the internet is a counterfeit of God's truth. And we should know that false teachers and their lies have been around for thousands and thousands of years. Jesus himself warned us about false teachers. We also see warnings about heresies being introduced into God's church. Warnings from the apostles, Paul, Peter, John, Jude, and others. And for the next minute or two, I'm going to read several verses quickly, and I don't expect you to try to keep up with your Bibles. So don't worry about trying to keep up. But just want you to listen to the warnings about false teachers just from the New Testament. You with me? Jesus himself, he warned us to watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. Matthew 7:15. Paul warned the early church in Ephesus that men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after themselves. Acts 20:30. Does that sound familiar? Pastor Ronnie just read this verse recently. Paul warned the early church in Colossae, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ." Colossians 2:8. Paul warned Timothy, "The Spirit clearly says that in later times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron." 1 Timothy 4:1. Paul also warned Timothy, "The time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths." 2 Timothy 4:3 and 4. Paul warned Titus to watch out for deceivers who teach falsehoods for the sake of dishonest gain. Titus 1:11. Apostle Peter devoted an entire chapter warning about false teachers. 2 Peter chapter 2. He taught that false teachers secretly introduce heresies into the church. He said they are experts in greed, and he gives them a name. Peter calls false teachers springs without water. Jude calls them clouds without rain. I'm going to talk about that here momentarily. And both Peter and Jude both warn that for these false teachers, the blackest darkness has been reserved forever. The Apostle John taught us, "Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have come into the world." Here's the test. He gives it in the very next verse. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. "Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God." That's the test. 1 John 4:1 through 3. And even as far back as the Old Testament, Moses and the prophets warned against false teachers. We find these warnings all throughout the Bible. Our God knew that every single generation of Christians, including us today, would have to face this battle. He knew that every generation of believers would have to face this type of opposition to the truth. And we know who the source of all these falsehoods is. It's the devil himself. Our adversary desires to distort God's word. He desires to lead people away from the truth and towards falsehoods. He desires to deceive people, and ultimately he desires to send people to hell. The devil is a master of deception. He and his demons are disguised as angels of light. Jesus said the devil is a liar and the father of lies. Pastor John MacArthur said that our world is like this. Our world is imprisoned in belief systems. Our world is imprisoned in belief systems. People have been fortified. They've grown up into these belief systems that at their core are anti-God. My dear friends, this battle for truth is quite literally a battle for the souls of the people all around us. If we fail to defend the truth, if we fail to purge falsehoods from the Church of Jesus Christ, if we fail to reach people with the gospel that can save them, then we, my friends, have blood on our hands. It is our responsibility to expose and to dismantle the false teachings so that our fellow man can know the truth. This is the burden that God has given me, and I've asked Pastor Ronnie for the pulpit for at least two Sundays, because I believe it's critical for us to embrace truth and to surgically remove the falsehoods from our church. And when we hear these false teachers, they deliver these catchphrases, these cliches and things that sound good. And when we compare them to the truth of God's word, we are testing the spirits the way that John taught us. And this means that you are taught even to test your pastors. You are biblically permitted and encouraged to test your pastors here. Test me, test Bruce, test Ronnie, all of your teachers. The Bible encourages you to test to see if what we're saying is true. just like the early Bereans did. Read the Holy Scriptures and find out if what we're teaching you here is legitimate. And I want you to know something today. Any preacher, any teacher who tells you, here's the truth, and don't you dare question it, that man is likely a false teacher. I'm going to say it again. Any preacher who tells you, don't ever question me, just take this for granted that I've got the truth, that man is likely a false teacher. The Bible encourages us to question. And when you get your answers, question your answers. Find out, is it truth? I want to give you another example of false teaching. In stunning fashion, there's a man named Creflo Dollar. His last name is Dollar. Creflo Dollar declared that we are gods, believe it or not. His faulty logic goes like this. Well, since every animal on the earth reproduces after its own kind, just like the book of Genesis tells us, that therefore, since God created us in His own image, that therefore we must be gods. Creflo Dollar actually had the audacity to say the words. He actually said, the real me is just like God. My dear friends, those are words of blasphemy. Declaring yourself to be just like God is blasphemy. And another example of false teaching, Miles Monroe. Miles Monroe told his TV audience that when we pray, we give God the right to act on our behalf. Did you catch that? According to Miles Monroe, God can do nothing without a human being first giving him permission. Prayer, according to Miles Monroe, is man giving God the authority to interfere into human affairs. He actually spoke the words, God can only do what you permit Him to do. I think it goes without saying that a sovereign God doesn't need our permission for anything. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Isaiah 55:8-9. How dare anyone say that our God needs us to grant Him authority? That's a false teaching. And false teachers are cunning. They often will use the same terminology that we are familiar with. They'll say the same words and phrases that we use. They'll say the words born again. They'll use the word gospel. They'll even quote scripture. But in reality, they're twisting scripture and they've exchanged the truth of God's word for a lie. They've replaced the true gospel, the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, with a false gospel. And one of the false gospels that's so popular today is what we call the prosperity gospel. This false gospel is also known as the word of faith movement. And you should know that these false teachers follow some very similar patterns. They're easy to detect. Let me give you some examples of what false teachers do. False teachers question the sovereignty of God or doubt the sovereignty of God. False teachers elevate the status of mankind and lower the status of God so that God and man are essentially equal. False teachers reject the deity of Jesus Christ. They will declare that Jesus was just a created being just like us. He was just a man anointed by God. Well, I can be a man that's anointed by God too, and therefore I'm just like Jesus. Once again, may I remind you that declaring ourselves to be just like God, saying that we're just like Jesus, is blasphemy. It is blasphemy. False teachers declare that they have received special revelation from God Himself. To them, it's irrelevant whether this special revelation is in agreement with the Holy Scriptures. That doesn't matter. Put your Bibles away. Let me tell you. May I remind you that the Holy Scriptures that we have were all divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit. False teachers declare that they have superior knowledge. You won't find this in the Bible, but God told me this. Jesus told me that. My friends, if it were true, if it indeed were true that God gave somebody today some special revelation, if that were true, then we would need to take those words and add them to the Bible. May I remind you about the warning in the book of Revelation about adding to the Bible? May I remind you? Some false teachers have declared that they have had physical encounters with God Himself. You got to hear me out on this one. Physical encounters where they physically see God with their own eyes. Might I add, ignoring the part of the Bible that says no man can see God and live. They ignore that little piece. But they declared that they had a physical confrontation with God. They saw God, spoke to God, heard God return with their ears. And they'll say, God gave me this message, and I'm going to give it to you today. I can think of several examples of false teachers who fall into this category. And I should make a distinction here. I should point out, there's a huge difference between saying that you had a physical encounter with God, where you saw God and spoke to God and heard Him. There's a big difference between saying you had that kind of experience and saying that God has burdened you, that God has led you down a certain path. I wouldn't be up here today if God had not burdened my heart with this message about false teachings, which, by the way, we find all throughout the Bible. If I were to tell you that I believe God wanted me to teach you that we need to consecrate ourselves. We see this word a lot. Consecrate ourselves. We need to set ourselves apart. We need to live rightly. That we need to be holy. We need to be sanctified. I could easily go to God's Word and find all over God's Word where God has instructed His people to do just that. It's written down here. But often what you hear from false teachers, you cannot find it anywhere in God's Word. And let's be reminded what the test is. The Apostle John gave us the test. Everyone who acknowledges Jesus coming in the flesh, the incarnation from God the Father, God's holy plan of redemption for His people. Everyone who acknowledges Jesus is from God. That means every true preacher, every true teacher, every true radio personality, every Holy Spirit-filled believer will present Jesus in a truthful, honoring, and glorifying manner. On the other hand, John said that anyone who does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. And I should point out that every false religion, every cult, every false teaching has an incorrect view of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit has an accurate view of Jesus Christ. False teachers do not. Anytime that you hear a message that suggests some kind of deficiency in Jesus Christ, any message that diminishes His glory, any message that suggests that Jesus is not what He said He is, that message does not come from the Holy Spirit. No matter how boldly they might say those words, if it takes away from the glory of Jesus Christ, it's not from the Holy Spirit. We need discernment to be able to detect what is true from what is false. And like I said, the truth of God's Word is sometimes neglected by the American church. Many churches would rather hear somebody say, "Hey everybody, listen up, I got this message from God Himself. Here it is, you ready? Listen up, write it down." They'd rather hear somebody like that than to hear somebody say, "Hey everybody, today we're going to read about the Sermon on the Mount. Everybody open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. "Oh, we can't. That's boring. Yawn. Come on, man." That's the condition that many churches are in today. So what does it mean? We're going back to this. Peter said the false teachers are springs without water. Jude said that they are clouds without rain. What does that mean? It simply means that there are honest people out there. There are folks that are desperately seeking truth, desperately seeking hope, desperately seeking answers to their problems. And on the surface, these false teachers, they appear to be the solution. Springs without water, clouds without rain means these false teachers offer a promise of life-giving water. But in reality, there is no life-giving water that comes from a false gospel. The only source of living water is Jesus Christ and a proper understanding of His Word. And it's not just men who speak falsehoods. Remember Paula White? Paula White, she was assigned by Donald Trump to be his spiritual advisor in the White House. Well, on her show, her TV show, Paula White actually said, "Jesus is not the only begotten Son of God. No, we're all sons of God. He wasn't the only begotten Son of God." And I thought, Jesus is not the only begotten Son of God? Has she ever read John 3:16? And you may wonder, why did these false teachers have such a big following? Well, there's a reason why these TV preachers have become multimillionaires. Oh, and by the way, they didn't get rich through their own investments. They didn't get rich through their own businesses and not through their own hard work and sacrifice. Oh, no. No, they become rich by telling people that if you want God's blessing on your life, you need to sow a seed of money into my ministry right now. Don't delay. Call the 800 number on your screen and give generously, and God will heal you of your illness. God will restore your fractured family. God will bless you abundantly. God will make you rich and prosperous, just like me. False teachers will tell you that it's always God's will for you to be healthy and wealthy. And I sit there and think of that. If that's true, God's will is always for His people to be healthy and wealthy. That means Christians would be immune from cancer. Christians would be wealthy. Churches would be packed with people trying to get in if that were true. This is called the prosperity gospel. It's a false teaching. It's no wonder that false teachers have so many followers. False teachers tell people what they want to hear. After all, everybody wants to be healthy. Everybody wants to be wealthy. Physical well-being and financial security, those are desires of the unregenerate heart. Those are common desires that these false teachers prey upon. I'm going to say something that might sound a bit harsh. It's easy to say that these false teachers, well, they got rich by victimizing people. It's easy to say that. You know, these are people that don't know any different, but like I said, let me say something that might sound a bit harsh. Some people are truly in a state of delusion because they've been misled and they're just lost. I won't doubt that. But there are some people who allow themselves to be victims by choosing to follow teachers who say what they want to hear. I don't want to hear about sin and repentance and living right. I want to hear somebody say, hey, you can be healthy and wealthy, come follow me. That's exactly what I want in life, health and wealth. I don't need to change my behavior. I don't need to deal with sin. I don't need to repent to a holy God. These people follow teachers who say what they want to hear. They allow themselves to be victims. My friends, I want you to listen carefully to me. We need to pay attention to what our favorite teachers are saying to us, whether it's on TV, whether it's on podcasts, on YouTube, Facebook, whatever format it might come to us today. What type of message are they teaching? Are they teaching about the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ? Are they teaching about sin and repentance and teaching about the redeeming power of Jesus' blood to save us from our sins and to make us right with God? You ought to hear the gospel often. You ought to hear it all the time from your favorite pastor. In fact, you probably should get tired of hearing it. You hear it so often. You ought to hear it frequently from your pastor. Or is your favorite teacher, is he telling you that it's all about you, babe? If all you ever hear from your favorite teacher or your favorite TV preacher or whatever it is, if all you ever hear is that it's your breakthrough, your comeback, your victory, your blessing, your benefit, you. If that's all you ever hear from your favorite TV preacher, be warned. Be warned. Beware of false teachers who say what you want to hear, but they don't teach the truth of God's Word. The prosperity gospel can be summed up as follows. It's worldly men teaching worldly people about worldly things. It has nothing to do with God. In stark contrast, Jesus taught us to store up for ourselves what? Treasures in heaven. Jesus did not give us a prosperity gospel. And as I close today, I want you to listen to the warning that Paul gives Timothy. I'll be reading from 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'll be reading from the New International Version. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 through 10. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, they are conceited and understand nothing. They have an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between people of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. Paul continues and says, he says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and we will take nothing out of it.
Amen.
But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and have pierced themselves with many griefs. And as I read those verses, I'm reminded of a false teacher named Benny Hinn. You may know him. He's been around for a long time. Benny Hinn is a false teacher who has made himself a fortune by exploiting the most desperate, most poor, most weak people in the entire world. His nephew, Benny Hinn's nephew, his name's Costi Hinn, he wrote a book about all the things that went on behind the scenes. I read it recently. Benny Hinn offers false hope to people who give their last dollar hoping to gain God's blessing on their lives. But Benny is a spring without water. I believe that God's greatest wrath will one day be poured out on false teachers. False teachers who become rich by exploiting the little people, giving them promises of God's blessings if they only sow into my ministry today, all while doing it in the name of Jesus. I don't even want to know what their eternity is going to be like, but these men have been warned. And next week I want to delve just a little bit deeper into some of the heresies and false teachings that are promoted today. And I'm not saying that every time you turn on the TBN channel or the Daystar channel or the Inspirational channel or YouTube, I'm not saying that everything that you hear is a false teaching. There certainly are good teachers that have their broadcast mixed in. But the way that the devil works is he will sneak in a false teaching alongside truth to make it look legitimate. If the whole channel were full of false teachings, the Church of Jesus Christ today would shun all of it. But the devil is sneaky. The devil is a master of deception. The best lie is one that's 90% true. You've heard that, right? There are certainly good teachers that have those broadcasts on those channels, but we need to be discerning. We need to have discernment. We need to be diligent, be prayerful, be discerning when you listen to your favorite preacher. Compare what you hear to what you read in God's Word. And I should point out that your pastors have sometimes been caught up in this too. There are times where we get sent by a friend a link to a YouTube video. Hey, you got to check out this preacher. And then you listen to a message, you're like, wow, this guy really brings it. It's really good. And that particular message may be 100% biblical. But somewhere along the way, the man is a false teacher. He's teaching people something that's completely anti-Christian or anti-God, anti-biblical. And I've been caught up in that too, and Ronnie's been caught up in it too, and we are discerning enough to know that, hey, once we hear these false teachings, we need to abandon those speakers. We need to abandon those people. So I'm issuing you today two things. One is a warning, and one is a challenge. The warning is to beware of false teachers. The challenge is to get in the Word. The challenge is to read God's Word, to pray and ask for understanding. And once you start sowing this Word into your hearts, the Holy Spirit will give you discernment so that when you hear something that's a fake, you'll immediately be able to detect it's a counterfeit. Be discerning with what you hear. Don't believe everything you hear. Let's pray. Father, you are a great and awesome God. Lord, we hear this sobering message today about false teachings. And God, we are guilty of allowing false teachings into the Church of Jesus Christ. We have allowed false teachers to spread their lies because we have not been discerning as a church. God, may we have an ever-growing desire to learn your Word, God, to know your Word, to be taught by you, God. May we have discernment from the Holy Spirit as we sow your Word into our hearts, God, that we would be able to detect what is true from what is false. God, as we dismiss here today, God, may you sow this message into our hearts, God, that we would have an ever-increasing desire to know you better. And we praise you in Jesus' wonderful name.